To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Alex Dono is on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Before we talk football, I remind you the best place to get geared up with Canes merch is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Alex Dono is the host of Locked On Canes and the Locked On ACC podcast as well, and he hosts the Hurricanes postgame show on this very radio station, and he's our Canes expert. So what was your reaction last night? You're watching the college football playoff committee's decision, seedings, rankings, and you see it's going to be a long road to hoe to get into the playoffs. What was your reaction watching it?
Yeah, I was disappointed, obviously, because if Miami's going to get in, you need to be in the top 10. Being number 12 is not good enough because there are going to be two auto bids that are going to jump over number 11 and number 12. So disappointment is obvious, but I was not surprised. Now, there are still people out there, and even the committee chair, and every time I listen to the committee chair, I feel dumber than before I listened to him speak. But the committee chair did even like give an opening that, hey, you know what? If Miami and Notre Dame were to find themselves back to back and not having teams between them, they have one team still between them because Notre Dame moved down one spot to number 10. BYU is at 11. Miami is number 12. So he basically says we cannot possibly weigh the head-to-head because there have been teams in between them, but maybe if they find themselves back-to-back. So he's kind of leaving the door open. But again, I still feel that if they felt that Miami should be ranked in front of Notre Dame, why are they not ranked in front of Notre Dame now? Like that's what I'm wondering about the committee. Like if they're going to next week magically decide, you know what? What happened August 31st actually does matter. What happened between their four common opponents suddenly does matter. I don't know why they wouldn't do that on Tuesday night, why they would wait till Sunday to do that.
And Dono, because Notre Dame and UM are playing. So the thought is, right, how are they going to move anywhere when they're not playing? But you just said it, BYU's between them. Yeah. So if Texas Tech beats BYU, now the Canes move up, and then they're going to jump them again because he just said that foolishness the other night. If they're back-to-back, now you go head-to-head. Like, do you think that, what is it, Alabama, Georgia, or BYU, Texas Tech, do you think that could vault the Canes into the college football playoffs? Because rationally, it doesn't make sense.
Okay, so with BYU, I think they have a must-win on Saturday in their conference championship game, because just the fact that BYU's even ranked this low with only one loss, the committee does not have any love to BYU. Like, there are certain programs, Alabama, they're going out of their way to help Bama, Notre Dame, they're obviously going out of their way to help Notre Dame. BYU is not going to get any help. The only way BYU gets in is if they beat Texas Tech. Texas Tech already blew out BYU this year, and Texas Tech is far better on paper than BYU. So I think BYU is going to be out. So your scenario does stand. Alabama is the other team that has a conference championship game. Now, even though I think BYU definitely could lose their spot if they lose the conference championship game, I have my doubts about the Bama situation. Now, obviously, people put their tinfoil hats on and assume the SEC is going to get favorable treatment. But the situation Bama is in, so this past Saturday, Crowder, Alabama, they beat 5-7 Auburn by 7 points. And the committee was so moved by that performance, they decided to move Bama up a spot. Like, meanwhile, Miami beat the number 22 team in the country 38-7 on the road. They don't move up, but Bama beats a non-bowl eligible Auburn team without a coach, and they move up a spot. So I believe the committee, in my humble opinion, is putting Alabama in a situation where if they lose a close game against Georgia, which I think is the most likely outcome, I think Georgia probably wins a close one. I don't think either team is getting blown out. So I think if Bama loses close, the committee can say, we'll move them down one spot, but they're still in the playoff. And obviously, if Bama wins, they're a lock. So I think there's a real scenario where BYU drops out. And then, like you said, Miami would have to hope that if BYU drops out, that Miami and Notre Dame are only separated by the one spot. And then the committee maybe is actually going to say, yeah, you know what? We forgot Miami won when they played ahead. Maybe it's time to jump Miami in front. So I think that's Miami's only hope.
Dono, what's the end goal here for the Canes after this season? Because in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, what's the point of scheduling Notre Dame? What's the point of scheduling the University of Florida? What's the point of having a season where you beat Notre Dame, you beat Florida, you beat USF, you beat FSU, and the committee still says, well, you're in the ACC, you had two losses, so we don't really care about what you did on the field anyways. You're not making the playoffs. Just schedule Bethune. Schedule Florida A&M. Schedule my FIU Panthers. I don't mean it as a slight. I'm being honest. What benefit does it give the University of Miami outside of TV exposure if it's not going to end up resulting in them beating them and getting rewarded for it?
Right, exactly, and because I'll take it one further. Notre Dame gets more benefit from losing to Miami than Miami got from beating Notre Dame, because the best thing on Notre Dame's resume is their losses. Oh, they lost to a ranked Miami. They lost to a ranked Texas A&M. Never mind the fact that Notre Dame's best win was against a 9-3 USC team, and they haven't beaten anybody who's currently in the playoff field. So I'm with you 1,000%. Like, for whatever reason, Notre Dame gets more out of losing to Miami than Miami gets out of beating them. And like, I totally think you're right that this gives you less incentive to schedule not great, you know, non-conference opponents. It doesn't, unfortunately, the situation that the ACC is in is they have a, which, and again, the ACC commissioner is, he's a bum, but Jim Phillips now has requirements. Since Notre Dame has a scheduling agreement with the ACC, you're kind of locked into playing them. And then I think also Miami probably feels like, if we go and cancel the game, then like we look soft. Like I don't know if that comes into Dan Radakovich's decision making or not. But you also mentioned, Solana, there is an obvious benefit to playing Notre Dame, and that's, you know the TV ratings are going to be through the roof. I think over 10 million people watched Miami versus Notre Dame on August 31st. So I mean, you have to kind of decide: is the extra TV money worth potentially getting screwed out of the playoff if you beat that team? I don't know.
Where do you fall on this? If the Canes don't make the playoffs, Dono, which is your approach? Hey, don't lose two games that you should win. So ultimately, it's Mario's fault. If you handle your business against Louisville and SMU like you should, then you wouldn't be in this situation. Or do you take the track of, hey, you went 10-2. You beat some class opponents like Solana just laid out for you. You had a couple stumbles during the season, but most teams do. So great season, Mario. Great season, Canes. You got ripped off by the committee.
I lean more to great season. This is not to completely excuse those losses, but I think you have to lean more to great season for a couple of different reasons. Miami killed, at least, you know, this year, they killed the narrative of, hey, this team, once they lose, they never bounce back, or they can't win in November, right? They ended November with four dominant wins, including a road game against Pittsburgh. A lot of Miami fans didn't think the Canes were going to win that game. I talked to Hurricanes fans every single day, and my comment section was like, it's cold, we're going to lose, it's Mario in November, we have no chance, and they go out there and win that game. And this is consecutive 10-win seasons now, Hawk, First time Miami has done that in consecutive seasons in over 20 years, 2002 and 2003. So I do lean to, like, this is a really good season. And also, like, this 10-2, I think this 10-2 was even better than last year's 10-2 because Miami had a tougher schedule this year. Like, the schedule was much easier last year, and they faded at the end of the season versus finishing the season strong. You know, there's obviously a little bit of nuance to this because, yeah, they should have been able to beat Louisville in a close game. And the SMU thing, I mean, listen, I probably blame the ACC officials on that as much as I blame Miami, but you could say it shouldn't have been that close. So, yeah, I wish the team was perfect. They're obviously not perfect yet, but I do lean to 10-2 with some quality wins. This was a really good season, and it's probably a season that should be enough to get them into the playoff.
And Donald, that SMU, and, you know, I've talked about this before with Louisville, they're trying to keep the games close, and, you know, that the style of ball Mario plays, where the style points is what this committee's doing. We're talking about the BCS versus the committees, where the human beings are watching it. They go out there and run damn Pitt off the field. That was embarrassing for Pitt's football program. Like, shouldn't you – will Mario learn from this year if they don't make it? Or if they do make it, just learn from this year. Go out there and put 50 on the board and don't leave this up to anybody.
Yeah, and I think he didn't even have to wait till the end of the year to learn it. I think he learned it in mid-November because that's when you really started to see things turn around. And I think you have to give credit to personnel as well because I think it was a little like late October, Carson Beck was in a funk. He started the season strong. He finished the season really strong. I think that they were calling plays a little bit like late October, first game of November to kind of protect him a little bit. And then I think towards the end of the year, like when Miami discovered Gerard Pringle, who's a true freshman, he was ready to go like late in the season. He was able to really open up their running game and make it more explosive. And, you know, throughout the season, every week, Malachi Toney got more and more comfortable. Just like the amount of responsibility that Toney was able to take on as a guy who's getting targeted 15, 20 times per game, catching 12, 13 balls per game. He's throwing passes. He's running it 3-4 times a game. Like Miami, I think Malachi and Miami both got more comfortable with each other throughout the year, and that helped the offense become more open and more explosive. But I think there was also the conscious effort. So I would like to think and hope that, like you said, Crowder, Cristobal did learn that, hey, we need to do what we were doing in November this year. This needs to be Miami's identity full time.
Alex Dono, check out Locked On Canes podcast, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to you next week, Dono, about a college football playoff matchup that the Hurricanes will have. If not, we'll talk about
the
Pop-Tarts Bowl. Who
knows? The committee is so unpredictable. I'm not ruling anything out.
Anything could happen. Anything. You're saying there's a chance.
It sounds like Let's Go Texas Tech. So BYU falls out, and if BYU wins, there's no chance.
No, yeah. Correct. If BYU wins, our goose is cooked.
Yeah. We've had a
goose. Our cookie is crumbled.
We've had a goose cooked if BYU wins. Put that on the podcast, Jimmy. The goose is cooked. Scenarios in which the goose is cooked. See you, Dono. We love you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
See ya.
Gino Toretta is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. And before we talk football, I remind you the best place to get geared up for the holiday season with Canes or Dolphins merch is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, he joins us on Thursdays courtesy of the local 519 Plumbers Union in football and in life. It's about being on the right team. Join the winning team at Local 519 Plumbers Union, a proven path to a strong career. Visit plumbers519.com. There is Gino Toretta, a proud Miami Hurricane, but also a fair and balanced college football fan and
Please
analyst.
Don't say that.
Nobody uses fair and balanced on that network anymore because it's obviously not. Do the Miami Hurricanes belong in the college football playoffs?
Yes. I think the disappointing thing is, one, the ACC having tiebreakers, and the first tiebreaker isn't, hey, how about we get the two highest-ranked teams in the game? I mean, it's just like if you got a tied conference record, these conferences are so big now, you're not going to have played everybody in your conference. So it makes no sense to say, hey, these supposed experts, and you can, you know, listen, AP, coaches poll, whatever, CFP, whoever's deemed an expert, take those three, average, we're going to get the two, you know, highest ranked teams we can in the game. And it's amazing. I mean, the Big 12 screwed themselves years ago when they had the TCU and Baylor debate, and they kind of nominated one to make the playoff, and the playoff committee liked the other one, and they didn't get either one in the playoff. And it just, one, that really has kind of put UM behind the eight ball. And then you have the love for Notre Dame, which, you know, that's years and years. But I'm really like the quote, Notre Dame had a strong win against Stanford. Strong win against Stanford. Like, nobody's ever gone to Stanford, who's 4-8, by the way, at the end of the season. They're 4-8. They won four games. Nobody, and I mean nobody, has ever gone to the farm and said, boy, Stanford's one hell of a tough place to play. I mean, nobody. Maybe Marino his rookie year when he had to play there for the Super Bowl, but nobody's gone in that stadium and be like, damn, this is intimidating. I mean, I broadcasted a game there. God's honest truth, USC played there when they had Addison, Caleb Williams, and these stars. And I'm like, you know what? That'll be great. We'll get USC, get them on the touchdown radio schedule first game of the year. Stanford's not even in class. If there was 10,000 people at that game, I would have been shocked. And there's a local pizza place, I think it's called Howie's or something like this, like Caddy Corner from the stadium, which has an awesome potato pizza.
Huh?
They thin slice potatoes.
Have you heard of it? You're nodding your head, Solon. Have you heard of that?
I've had a potato pizza before.
Wow. They are phenomenal. They are phenomenal. They blanch the potatoes. Anyway, it's phenomenal. I called.
No,
the
wait
pizza
a second.
Place.
Wait a second. No. I can't.
They blanch them.
I can't. I don't know what blanch is. What does that
blanch
mean?
Blanch is water, hot water.
Like a bath. You give the potato a bath.
It's not raw potato. You got to cook the potatoes some.
Right.
Like boiled potatoes, like you mash potatoes. You got to cook them. So you slice them, then you cook them a little bit, boil them, then they put them on the pie. Then you basically have toppings like it's a baked potato, like this the cream cheese,
what?
Bacon bits. It's like bread. It's like carbs upon carbs. But the point, I called the pizza
place. Well,
wait
a second. No, go ahead.
This place, hold on. This place is 100 yards from the stadium, Caddy Corner. Now, at Camino Real, it's a crazy parking lot, all this stuff. I said, hey, it were 3 hours before game. Nobody's at stake. Like, and I mean nobody. I said, can you deliver a couple pizzas over to the stadium? He goes, yeah, what gate are you at? And like, could you imagine like going in anywhere
else? I'd love to see that at the Orange Bowl.
Hey, you call Bird Bowl, no blocky. Pull up 17th Avenue. And
you call Bowl Bar back in 1986. Do you guys deliver? Yes. Where do you want the cocaine? Gate 11.
But like that is a strong way. I just shake my head at some of the stuff. Now, I will say this. What the committee said, they reserve the right to re-rank everybody at the end. And I think they're saying that because last year they basically put everybody that got in a conference championship game in the playoffs. And I don't think you can continue to do that because if somebody gets boat raced, let's say Alabama gets boat raced by Georgia, they're going to have three losses. Now, granted, I know your conference is tougher than anybody's in the country, but man, you got to think hard and fast of not saying, you know what, you're not good enough to make the playoffs. That's your third loss, and you just got boat raced on your conference championship game.
And you know, this is my end because I'm a honorary Gator. I mean honorary Cane because I'm doing the right thing. BYU. Honestly, like I'm not even cheering. I'm just saying the right thing. It goes Notre Dame, what, 10, BYU 11, Canes 12. If Texas Tech, which I believe they're about to beat the hell out of BYU because they already did this season. Now, UM and Notre Dame are right next to each other in the rankings. You have to jump Miami with the head-to-head. I think that is the most rational way to look at it.
You have to. And I will say this. We are all – now, I know you used to be a Dan Mullen fan when he was coaching the Gators. But we are all Dan Mullen fans this weekend, and I'll tell you why. Dan Mullen plays Boise State. They're the only team that played either Miami or Notre Dame. And if Dan Mullen beats Boise State, what is the committee going to say? Well, I guess Notre Dame's schedule is not as hard as we thought it was because Dan Mullen in New Mexico just beat Boise State in the conference championship game. I mean, so I literally, to me, I'm like, okay, I have more eyes on that game than the Big Ten or the SEC because that could and may have more effect on Miami than any of them.
This is crazy.
Exactly. It's crazy really that is. We're talking because you want the top 12 in. You know, people say, well, if Duke wins the ACC, really, you're going to put a five-loss team in the playoff? Come on, dude. I like – you know what? I'll give you the debate 9-14, but a five-loss team, that's just the ACC being stupid with their tie-breaking things. And if it screws Miami to go 10-2 2 years in a row and get nixed from the playoffs, that's just reason to, you know, try to move on and get in a different conference, to be honest with you.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Gino, because I'm seeing a lot of I don't want to call them overreactions. I think they're people are reacting properly, but like some of the steps to me are unrealistic. Miami leaving the ACC this summer, unrealistic. I wouldn't expect that to happen in a million years. But what about not scheduling Notre Dame, literally canceling the game with Notre Dame next season, not scheduling UF anymore? In the future, I was bringing this up to Dono yesterday, like what incentive does Miami have to schedule anybody not named Bethune-Cookman six times in their out-of-conference games anymore if literally it does not matter? All that matters for them is going undefeated in conference play.
Well, I would say it does matter because look at Notre Dame. The reason they're 10-2 and really there's a debate is their schedule's horse bleep. I mean, let's be honest. Outside of Texas A&M and Miami, like Notre Dame's strongest point in this whole thing is – we had two losses against two great teams. What? I mean, dude, like, hey, we played them close. You know what? You still lost. That's why you have to schedule good teams. That's why you have to schedule hard teams. And it's like UM's getting penalized for beating them. And then Notre Dame's getting credit for losing closely to Texas A&M and to Miami. It's like there's different rules for different schools, And I hope they're doing it right, because they've inched, you know, now they put Alabama in front of Notre Dame. But if you have Notre Dame and Miami next to each other and they have the same record, they're not playing today or this weekend, and you don't say, hey, what matters the most? One kicked the other team's butt on the actual field. You know, not in make-believe, not in Madden, not in Sega Genesis survey.
Atari 2600.
On the field.
Yeah. Gino Toretta, I want to get your opinion before we run out of time here. Your opinion on what transpired with Lane Kiffin, because that was obviously, you couldn't escape that over the weekend, and now he's at LSU, and Ole Miss be damned. What do you make of it?
Well, I would say this. One, Florida State got screwed for a quarterback getting hurt. And you can't tell me that Lane Kiffin's not a big reason of plays being sent in for a game. So, like, I would say that's more important to my team, the guy calling plays and the guy being the head coach on the outcome of a game and game planning, than just the starting quarterback. Now, in I don't know if it's in Lane's defense, the college football calendar is broken. How there's kids right now that are committing, and then the transfer portal opens the week before the national championship game, and then, you know, you have coaches that are leaving, the recruiting cycle is off. It makes no sense. I mean, the NFL, at least they say, hey, you can't poach your coaches in the middle of the season. Like, like if you're a player, think about it, you're at Ole Miss. You've had the best season that they've ever had. You have a legit chance to win a national championship. Chambliss, the quarterback, I told you when I did him twice early in the year, I go, this kid is legit. They have talent all over the place. And at the end of the season, you get there to play for it all. And your coach leaves, your OC leaves, but now the OC is going to come back and call plays. It's just like college football. There's a lot of smart people in this world that I think they just need to fix this stuff. And the calendar has to be set. Either the transfer portal doesn't open, you know, until the second semester, or you move, you know, Jimbo Fisher's like, move the games up, have everything done January 1st then. And then you have recruiting, signing day, transfer portal, everything in the same time frame. But there's no good way to leave a school. I mean, listen, Jimmy left, I think it was after signing day, my redshirt freshman year, and obviously people were disappointed. Dennis left a couple of years after. There's no easy way to ease a school and timing it, but timing should be after the season.
At least part of it. Time it, like the NCAA has to at least do something so that this particular
something.
Situation
I mean, look at,
doesn't
look at,
happen.
Like I was reading an article, Penn State's recruiting because they haven't signed it. Apparently they've gone after guys and they haven't gotten who they've wanted to. Their class is ranked 250th or something, some crazy number. Like they're ranked below West Georgia
because recruits are getting called by a school nurse. There's no one there. It's the guy who fills the vending machines is also in charge of filling the roster.
Hell, you know what? I raise my hand. I'm bringing Channing. I think you know what.
He can recruit. Hey, Crowder could recruit. Crowder could recruit at Penn State, man. His dad was a stud there.
Gino, when you get that job, bro, you got my number.
I know. There's a lot of good people. We ain't that greedy. We don't need 13 a year. You know, one or two.
Don't forget your old pal Mark. Yeah, the kid at the tavern trying to get served.
You were getting all the freebies. You know, I would say you're the sports information director, but they changed those titles now. I think it's Directors of Strategic Communication.
Yeah, make me that.
Okay. All right, you're that.
Gino Toretta. You can hear him every Thursday with us, courtesy of the local 519 Plumbers Union. With all the changes in how America does business, you can count on one thing, the union-trained plumbers of Local 519. Join a winning team today with Local 519 Plumbers Union, a proven path to a strong career. Visit plumbers519.com. Thank you, Gino. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys, you too.
Wondered if there would be course correction, that Miami would get a little closer to Notre Dame. That hasn't happened. So the Hurricane sitting there at 12.
And Mario Cristobal in Miami got to be feeling like, oh, here we go again. Deja vu, 10-2 again, and we're going to get left out, especially with the win over Notre Dame, who everybody loves, including this committee. I still think at some point they're going to do the right thing, and if Notre Dame is up for a playoff spot, Miami should be over them based on what happened on the field.
Okay, here is a really important factor, too, because you're still honoring head-to-head between Alabama and Oklahoma with the Sooners being up, but it has not carried the day for Miami and Notre Dame. Neither Miami nor Notre Dame play anymore. Among the teams who are finished playing, do not play this week, can their order flip next Sunday in the final rankings, or is the order for the teams whose hay is in the barn, whose resume is complete, are they set in terms of where they are relative to one another?
Great question, Reese. The management committee during the offseason provided some clarification to some comments that were made last year. And indeed, idle teams can move following the results of the championship games and how they impact the teams that are around those that play in the championship game, and data such as strength of schedule, teams that may be idle. So, yes, teams that are idle can move up or down.
So we're not set with Miami definitively being behind Notre Dame no matter what. Is that fair to say?
Reese, following the championship games, we will re-rank the top 25 teams, and we'll see where they fall.
I'm going to take that as the Canes still have a chance.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, let's go right to him. Dan Radakovich, University of Miami Athletic Director, nice enough to join us this morning. And, Dan, as you're watching that last night, I know what my thoughts were. What were your thoughts as you hear the professionals saying, why are they not in? They beat Notre Dame head-to-head, period. There's nothing else left, and yet – there's other stuff going on. What are your thoughts?
Well, Joe, thank you for having me on this morning. And by the way, you just took my whole shtick, you know, with that opening. I mean, Hunter and Reese's questions were absolutely perfect. You know, last year we had the circumstance where we were told that the conference championship games didn't mean anything. You were listed where you were listed. And we did make a little bit of noise about that. And the conference commissioners did get together in the spring, and as Hunter talked about, change that rule. So that's good. So we'll see what happens. Being at 12 right now, the catbird seat really is 10, because you're going to have either an ACC champion, right, and a group of six team go into 11 and 12, or if Duke wins, maybe two group of six schools getting in those spots. So if BYU happens to stumble and is out and we move up to number 11, then I think at that point in time, the committee can look one-on-one with Miami and Notre Dame and look through all their metrics and variables. And certainly the head-to-head will come into play. I mean, every other head-to-head in this year's rankings, Georgia ahead of Ole Miss, Texas Tech ahead of BYU, Oklahoma ahead of Alabama, both Alabama and Texas ahead of Vanderbilt. All of those head-to-heads are being utilized. So maybe if we get up to number 11 and Notre Dame is at 10, maybe we get the benefit of the doubt at that point in time. So a little bit more football to play. But I think it does, as Reese said at the end there, give Miami a chance, and we're going to hold on to that.
Dan, everybody in the country, we had EJ Manuel on yesterday, everybody in the country saying Miami beat Notre Dame. They both have two losses. I don't care that they were early in the year. That's all that should matter. And yet they come back and they go, well, they've done a great job of getting from 18 back to 12, and they're in that small group now, you know, with these teams, and we'll see what happens. It's just a little frustrating to hear that. And what do you say to people who go, Notre Dame always gets the benefit of the doubt? I know there's a lot of Catholics around this country. I'm one of them, but what do we do about that?
Well, I really don't know how to answer that one. I mean, that's, you know, Notre Dame, we beat them on the field. You know, I think it was a phenomenal game. You know, they've come back and they've had a great season, as have we. It's the opinion of the 12 people in that room up to this point in time to keep Notre Dame ahead of us. I think that our loss to to our overtime loss to SMU happened at a very inopportune time because that was right before the first rankings. I thought they put us way too low at 18, you know, after that loss. And it's just taken, you know, four incredible efforts by our football team, great decisive wins to get us back within a shouting distance of Notre Dame. And I think that that's where we are right now. We'll see in the end if Notre Dame gets the benefit of the doubt. I don't want to say they'll get that at this point.
Hey, Dan, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but why do we have athletic directors? I know you've been one of them, but why are we having athletic directors that represent these different conferences? Like the guy's voice I just heard, his athletic director at Arkansas. Why do we have those guys on the committee?
I think that the commissioners who pulled the college football playoff together wanted to have representatives of their conferences, their athletic directors from their conferences. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of athletic directors who played football. There's a lot of athletic directors who understand football. Mm-hmm. So I don't look at having athletic directors there totally as a negative. I also think that it's one of the most prestigious positions that anyone can get. And everyone that I've known that it's been a part of that committee has just thrown themselves completely into understanding the metrics, watching games, being really committed to doing the best job possible. It's a hard job, Joe. I got to tell you, having been on the committee, it's not easy. But you really have to dedicate yourself to that. And if you do, more times than not, you're going to come up with the right solution. But you have athletic directors, you have former coaches, you have media members, you have ex-players. That's kind of the that's how they've kind of set that all up.
Hey, Dan, so I got to ask you because I get this too. So why are we playing the schedule of Florida and Notre Dame? Because it's not, you're not getting the benefit of the doubt the way you should later on. So why play them? I like having those games, by the way. I thought Florida and Notre Dame were great for business at Hard Rock Stadium. Personally, what's your take and what do you tell people?
Well, listen, we're now moving to 9 games within the Atlantic Coast Conference. We're mandated to play another Power 4 game against, you know, whether it's the Big 10, SEC, Big 12 or Notre Dame, you know, as the independent. Notre Dame has the scheduling relationship with us, and we'll be going up to South Bend next fall to play the back end of the game we just finished here at Hard Rock. So, you know, I think it's a great game. We're going to have to play 10 Power 4 games anyway.
Okay.
So let's play against some teams that have great tradition, great history and tradition here at the University of Miami. So not playing Notre Dame is not really something that I would consider.
Okay. Hey Dan, this team, now that we've had a chance, especially the way they played the last 4 weeks, and by the way, the last game on the road, and, you know, everybody worried about cold weather and all that stuff, and they went out and just smashed Pitt. This team, and you match it up, I know you've done this, and you've done it with some of the other people in your organization there. It's hard for me to imagine they can't beat a lot of these teams, and they're not getting blown out by any of those teams. As good as the talent is on both sides of the football, which has played out, hell, we got probably 3 first-round picks on this team and maybe the best freshman player in the country.
Well, I agree with everything you just said. These last 4 weeks have been the most complete the football team has played. Mario and his staff have done a phenomenal job. The players have bought in. They've never shown a second of quit. You know, they just kept moving forward, doing the job that was in front of them and doing it incredibly well. So I would agree. I think that as we would stack up and play in the college football playoff, I don't know the city in the West with all the big shiny buildings, how they would, you know, put the point spreads and things like that. But I will tell you that I really think we would have a great shot to line up against anybody and win a game.
Yeah.
All or key. 2 or 3 or all of them.
Yeah. Listen, starting a quarterback, which is important. That kid's been really solid or really good most of the year. He really has. So, hey Dan, the other part of the craziness, if you guys find out Obviously, there's a whole bunch of other bowls. Have you guys, is that already started too? Is the backup plan, which could be reality, to find which bowl you guys might play in?
Well, that'll all start on Sunday, Joe, after the CFP is done. That those conversations, I think that just based on history with the ACC, they don't like to send a team back to the same bowl 2 years in a row.
Okay.
So probably wouldn't go to Orlando. So that would bring San Diego and Jacksonville, the Holiday Bowl and Gator Bowl into play. Gator Bowl does have an SEC opponent, which would be, I think, kind of interesting. A lot of fun. Could be a Vanderbilt, could be a Tennessee, could be a Texas. So if that was the final destination, but we'll wait and see and what happens on Sunday. And then if early Sunday doesn't move our way, we'll move our attention to getting into the best bowl arrangement we can for our team and fans.
Hey, Dan, you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about everything? Today's early National Signing Day, and there's no buzz, and there used to be the biggest buzz around this radio station. Everybody wanted to know where everybody was going, and Woody, play that damn play it for me one time. Will you play it? We used to hear this, and we used to get all excited. Oh, we got another commitment coming in, and now it's just been, there it is right there, Dan. That sound's coming in. It's a 4 or 5-star guy. I think this is the – and now it's so quiet. What's it been like for you on this early National Signing Day?
Exactly the same. I couldn't have said it better, Joe. There's so many things going on as it relates to college football. Now, down the hallway and across the way, the folks over in football, they've been working like crazy,
right,
to solidify this class, put them together. But there's only so much room in the media and the CFP and NIL and participation agreements, the portal, all those things have just sucked the air out of National Signing Day, which is unfortunate. I think our calendar continues to need to be looked at, as it relates to that, not only the portal but National Signing Day, and we'll continue as a sport to look at those kind of things. Something's going to have to give along the way, because you've just had a circumstance where you've had a number of coaches that are leaving schools, still playing, trying to recruit. I saw that Penn State was, 100 and something in recruiting rankings because all of their people left. others, and that's just not the way those things should work. So whoever the new coach is going to be at Penn State will start from a very, very low recruiting ranking spot. But we're excited about ours. We're ranked currently, 10th in the country, first in the ACC as those commitments come in. And Joe, as an old coach told me one time on recruiting day, by the way, they all come highly recommended. So we'll see how they all pan out in a few years. But you could just see over the years, Mario and the staff have been incredible evaluators of talent. So like our chances.
Yeah, no question. By the way, the transfer portal comes up next month, and we'll be talking about that. Hey, Dan, before I let you go, because it's been great for radio, this Lane Kiffin thing, aren't you glad you're not the athletic director going through that mess right now?
Huh? No question. it's very, very difficult. I mean, I happen to know a number of the people who've been in those spots. Pat Kraft at Penn State, who was one of the first to open up, still doesn't have anybody signed on the dotted line. LSU, Virge Osberry. Virge was there on staff when I was at LSU, and spoken to him a couple of times, and it was just, they kind of went, put their eyes on Lane Kiffin, and they were able to bring him in. Of course, the 100,000 seats at Tiger Stadium and Saturday nights in Baton Rouge certainly didn't hurt. That's a really interesting place to play and be a part of. But hey, everything's a roll of the dice, and just we'll see in 2 or 3 years how those things work out.
Well, Dan, listen, I'm going to let you go, but man, I appreciate you coming on. We got so many other things. We got basketball starting up, teams getting better and better. We'll come back and talk with you about some of the other stuff at the University of Miami. But thank you so much for coming on with us. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Big win by Jay last night in the basketball, guys. Yeah, and the Cavender twins are coming back for our women's basketball game tonight against Tennessee at 5 o'clock. So wow. Anybody in the area, come on back and see our women play tonight.
All right. Hey, Dan, thanks, bud. Have a good day.
You too. All bye-bye. Right.
Dan Radakovich, University of Miami Athletic Director. All right, Woody, we've kind of hit it all there, man. Kind of hit it all there. And Dan, nice enough to come on with us this morning.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go right to him. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. And man, we got all kinds of stuff going on here. Mike, before we get into all the professional football stuff, do you have any ideas for college football to try to figure out how to get 12 teams, the most accurate 12 teams into the playoffs?
No, no.
What a mess.
And the more they expand the pool, the more arguments are going to be made by more programs for the ones who didn't make it. When it's just, what was it, four at first? And right. Then, I don't know. The whole thing, it doesn't help that my beloved West Virginia Mountaineers currently are not good. So it makes me less inclined to follow it. But the whole thing is just a mess. It's chaos they've created. They've created chaos as it relates to the coaches. They've created chaos as it relates to the players. They've got different political battles under the guise of, we have to save college football. We have to save college sports. That Cody Campbell was on with Pat McAfee yesterday, and I'm surprised he got that platform there because he's been against the models that the people who pay ESPN who ESPN pays a lot of money to have their games, but the customer in those cases is always right. He's been pushing against this idea of the current model and wanting to have an NFL style thing where college football sells its rights globally because we have to save college sport. And meanwhile, you got LSU willing to pay $145 million between Brian Kelly and Lane Kiffin. So it's all PR. It's all spin. It's all bull crap. They don't like the fact that the players are getting paid and they don't know how to manage the game. The stewards of college football don't know how to manage the sport.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it. I don't know if you remember, I know you go on some different shows, but last week you said, hey, just a heads up, Thanksgiving, don't be surprised the Chiefs Cowboys might get $50 million. Mike, you're way off. It got $57 million.
I know.
Mike, God.
I know. I hang my head in shame. I was stunned. Because I saw people saying, oh, it won't get 50. And I'm like, what am I missing here? Because if the last biggest audience, 42-1, for a Giants-Cowboys game 3 years ago where they both were good, but it doesn't resonate. That rivalry doesn't resonate like it once did. And this is the Chiefs, and the Cowboys went in, you know, a couple in a row, and they got this new Nielsen measurement that bumps all the numbers by 10%. Like right there, you're looking at 47 if you bump it by 10%. So I thought 50 was doable. I had no idea that it would get 57. And then the early game that day, Lions-Packers got 47.
That's incredible.
So both games broke the existing record for the biggest audience for an NFL regular season game.
Boy, I'll tell you what, the Dolphins getting ready to play Steelers in a couple weeks. I never thought, I know Mike Tomlin's been, you know, a winning coach, and I was aware of the fact he had won a playoff game now for, I think, about 10 or 11 years, but I think he's in trouble. Ben Roethlisberger and James Harrison didn't exactly go, that's our coach, bring him back. They're saying, hey, maybe it's time to move on. I think Mike could be in trouble.
The last time they won a playoff game was the last game the Chiefs played without Patrick Mahomes on the roster, the divisional round of the 2016 season. They have not won a postseason game since then. It's the longest drought for the franchise since the first time they ever won a playoff game in 1972. I think at some level, Joe, and look, at the end of the day, there's only one person who has a vote. It's the owner.
Right.
What will get the owner's attention? Will it be criticism from players like Roethlisberger and James Harrison? Or will it be when the Dolphins come to town? December 15, 10 days before Christmas. Let's say the Steelers lose on Sunday to the Ravens. They're 6-point underdogs. What if people just don't show up? And what if those who do only go so they can chant fire Tomlin, so that they can boo during the iconic renegade moment that typically gets the team lathered up to pull out a victory? It could be an ugly scene in 10 days in Pittsburgh. And what will it take to get Art Rooney to make a change? And there's one big factor to consider here. Art Rooney was born in 1952. The Steelers had like six different coaches by the time he was 16. And once they hired Chuck Knoll when he was 16, they've embarked on this, what is it now, 56-year run of stability. If you pull the pin on moving on from Mike Tomlin, what happens next? Number one, who's the next coach? And number two, if he doesn't work out, are you going to give him 10 years before you acknowledge it? Like, there has to be at some level, and I think this is like psychological deep-seated stuff, but he grew up as the grandson of the founder of a team that had always been horrible. When Chuck Knoll arrived, everything changed. And I think Art Rooney has to be fearful that he's going to be the one to make it go back to the way it was. You know, they say sandals to sandals in three generations as it relates to money. It could be, you know, dysfunction to dysfunction in a couple of generations for the Steelers as it relates to being competitive and competing for championships.
You know, Mike, that George Pickens trade, I had no idea that thing was going to be, he was going to be this good in Dallas. He didn't have a great game last night, but overall, over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. He'd been late a few times, but I'm guessing Dallas had a pretty good idea and said, don't let that affect anything. He's a frontline receiver. What a great trade. Got to give him credit.
Well, and look, the biggest factor that caught my attention when the Steelers traded for DK Metcalf, okay, this is a guy the Seahawks never properly used. And the Steelers had George Pickens, and they never properly used him. So now they're going to pay market value for the first time ever to a guy who's never played for the team before. They've never done that. They reluctantly give market value to their superstars, who they have had in the organization for years. They never just open the door and say, here's $35 million a year. And it just shows that they look at how they're using Metcalf. They're not using Metcalf. No. They're not earning he's not earning the $35 million, and it's not his fault. They're not using him the right way. But I'm troubled with Pickens last night. He seemed, and I love studying the demeanor of players. It's usually quarterbacks during games. But Pickens seemed disinterested last night. There was one play where he ran a route and he didn't really fire off the line and the ball came to him and he didn't make the catch. And you could see afterward Dak Prescott jawed at him a little bit. They need to keep his head in the game every game. And for whatever reason, last night he wasn't his usual self. And with each game, we're getting closer and closer to, you know, the expiration of his contract. So he's got every reason to be locked in every single game as he gets closer and closer to his payday.
Mike, so the Dolphins won 3 straight. I know you know all this stuff. I'm just going to break it down here because everybody's had to hear this for 3 weeks now. The defense playing a lot better. Been stingy. Got 7 takeaways in 3 games. They're playing up to a high level. Devon Achane has turned into a top 4 or 5 running back. The numbers he's put up the last 3 weeks. The kicking game's been great. The punter and the field goal kicker have been outstanding. Tua is the only thing struggling in his area of the passing. 501 yards in 3 games, 2 touchdowns and 3 picks. And they're saying all fundamentals and footwork and his eyes and, when to slide and not. He slid a little early at the end of a game and end up getting stopped on 4th down. I'm just curious. Like, I don't know if this stuff's going to get any better the rest of the way. They've been able to win tight ball games. 2 of them weren't real pretty in the 4th quarter. The Tua thing, and I still believe coming back, he's our guy no matter what happens the rest of this year.
$54 million fully guaranteed next year. There's no way out of it. I think that if Mike McDaniel saves his job, and it looks like he will, even though it could get very awkward if the GM who is hired, because every GM who gets hired has in his pocket a list of names of coaches that he would hire when he becomes a GM. And if Mike McDaniel's name isn't on that list, well, we got a problem, right? And then the question becomes, when can the GM fire the coach and bring in his guy? And I'll give you the best example of it. When Bob Quinn got the GM job in Detroit, Jim Caldwell did fine, but Bob Quinn was bound and determined to hire Matt Patricia. So Caldwell got fired when he shouldn't have been fired, and in came Patricia. If McDaniel wants to save his job, he's got to be fully on board with drafting a quarterback next year and working on an alternative to Tua and committing to the idea that next year is Tua's last year, unless Tua just tears it up next year. Like, you know, we can't do the kid gloves anymore. We can't worry about how he's going to react. You know, the response to the, and I don't want to suggest Brian Flores did anything wrong. His style didn't work with Tua, and it created a lot of friction and problems for Tua, and that's fine. But they went the other direction, and they tiptoe around Tua way too much. They picked up his 5th-year option when I didn't think they should. They gave him this massive contract when they didn't have to, when he was entering his 5th-year option. They're so worried about keeping the guy happy because they think if he's not happy, he's just going to implode. And I mean, come on. At some point, it's big boy football. And if you don't perform, you're not going to be the quarterback. And maybe if he gets that as a little bit of a red hot poker, off he goes. So either way, you got to be developing someone else because you got to be thinking about 2027 or during 2026, making a change from Tua to a new guy.
So does this hold back if they do open up this general manager job? If they do, does this hold a guy potentially who knows he's a top-notch GM or is going to be from keeping this job down here? Could that be a reason a guy goes, I'm not doing that for a year. I don't want him around? Or the guy suck it up for a year if he knows that's the situation and he can build from there?
Yeah, it's so funny. When one of these jobs comes open, the people who rely upon the flow of information being handed to them by teams will say, oh, it's a great job. Oh, it's you know, and you can set your clock to it. It's, oh, this is a great job. A lot of people are going to want this job. And it's just fluff. It's just crap. Look, you're going to have candidates who have options. And ask yourself this question objectively. Set aside any allegiance to the Dolphins. If I have options, and my options are I can go to a place where I get to hire a coach, I get to find a quarterback, or there's a quarterback there who I like. Am I going to go there? Or am I going to go to the place where the quarterback is part of the problem, big part of the problem? This is not a head coach I would have hired. I've got to preside over a year of whatever and hope they don't perform so well that I'm stuck beyond a year. When Jerry Angelo became, and I'm going way back here, this is a deep cut. I think if I recall correctly, when Jerry Angelo became the GM of the Bears, it was either Jerry Angelo or the next guy. Dick Duron was still the coach, and they had a really good year, and the GM was stuck with Dick Duron. Like, that's the problem. So, yeah, if you have options, you're not going to opt for the situation where it's an arranged marriage with the head coach. You're stuck with the quarterback for a year. I'd rather go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's
Oh, and I'd like to have the owner in the building every day, too. That's another factor.
Hey, so I got to ask the Jackson Dart. I love everybody who's going back and forth. And some radio talk show hosts were saying it was a cheap shot, and I'm screaming, going, are you kidding? The guy's running down the sideline. You get a chance to drill him. He's stupid for not getting out. What's your take on this old Jackson Dart thing?
Well, 5 years ago, the folks in Kansas City wanted to cancel me and or kill me because I said after the AFC Championship, which featured a play from Patrick Mahomes where he did a slow motion run through the defense, weaving, and they all were kind of like, what do we do? What do we do? We can't hit him. We can't hit him, because everybody thinks if you hit the quarterback, you're going to get a 15-yard penalty. I said after that game, hey, the 49ers need to just go hit him. And if you get penalized, you get penalized. But you can't let him run around you and through you. It's football, and when he decides to be a runner, you got to hit him. And the folks in Kansas City were up in arms, and I was saying, oh, you should. He's saying you should go injure Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, no, I'm saying you can't worry about getting flagged. Once he becomes a runner, you got to go hit him. And that's what Christian Ellis did on Monday night. And here's the rest of that story. The team that Patrick Mahomes did the slow motion pinball routine through was the Tennessee Titans. The coach of the Tennessee Titans at the time was Mike Vrabel. So I'd say he's learned a lesson about kid gloves when it comes to quarterbacks who run. Jackson Dart, like, somebody's got to sit him down and have the hard conversation with him. That extra step you gain isn't worth being out for the rest of this game and missing the next game. Tua's been there. 2010, Rex Ryan brought Joe Girardi, who was then the Yankees manager, to practice middle of the season to try to teach Mark Sanchez how to fly. It's always an issue. There's always one guy that is too competitive for his own good and won't back off and do the smart thing to keep himself healthy during the game and has to learn how to do it.
I got news for you. He doesn't change. That career, I know he called it soccer. This is not soccer. And, you know, and he's trying to play the tough guy act, and that's my personality.
That bravado is good for no one. It is good for no one. Like, they got to grow up from this frat boy mentality that kind of descended on him and Scataboo. Like, Omar Kelly told me this on PFT Live a couple of months ago. Like, the first 3 years of a guy's career in the NFL, they don't think it's a business. Like, it's an extension of, and college football is a business now too. But for your first 3 years, it's like, this is my team, and, you know, we're playing football. And after about 3 years, you realize you're going to get chewed up and spit out, and you better take care of yourself because nobody else is going to give a crap. You're a piece in a large football machine that is eventually going to be replaced, and they're going to pull it out, and they're going to cast it aside, and they're going to put a new piece in. And, I think that Jackson Dart needs to think of it that way. Cam Scataboo needs to think of it that way, or neither of them is going to be in the NFL for very long.
That's a great call. Hey, Mike, thank you, man. Have a great week. We got a great weekend of games. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
All right, Mike Flora from Pro Football Talk. Hey, we got more stuff. Chris Perkins.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody. Always special. Big week, man. Great, great games coming up. You talk about playing against Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Colts, Jacksonville, Texans, Chiefs. I mean, we got some great ones. Cincinnati at Buffalo, Denver story, the Patriots story. Charles Davis, NFL on CBS analyst, joins us this morning. Charles, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Joe. Happy holiday season to you and yours out there.
Thank you, bud. I appreciate it. I hope you had a chance to get some time and stay in Orlando and enjoy your family as well, bud. But hey, man, we've got a lot of crazy stuff going on. Before we get into it, everybody seems to have a little different opinion about that Jackson Dart hit on the sideline. I thought it was clean. Like, you got to get out of bounds, man, or you're going to get popped. That's the way the league works. What'd you think?
I love the young man. Like, I've known him for a while now, since college, et cetera. Love him, love his enthusiasm, love how he attacks the game. But right now, he is riding that line of, I'm going to do it my way because I don't ever give up on plays. I'm one of those people who's going to, you know what I'm talking about, Joe. Kid comes out of college, he has some success early, he's played the game real hard and made plays with his feet and some big runs and some things of that nature. He was really supported by Brian Daboll as his head coach. They were arm in arm. I know Dave's talked about protecting himself, but he always defended the kid. You know what I'm saying? like, hey, that's the way this kid goes about it. We'll talk about this stuff, blah, blah, blah. You know, first and second down, he'll learn to slide better. Third down, have to have it plays. He's going to go for it. The hit was clean.
Yeah.
Okay? It was absolutely clean. And if he doesn't learn, and here's the other part. If he doesn't learn to get out of bounds, he's going to take more shots like that. And, of course, we're going to be right back in concussion protocol. But number two, I thought that Troy Aikman articulated it expertly on the telecast. Defenders were very good with quarterbacks when they went to the sideline and got themselves out of bounds. And then quarterbacks got greedy.
Right.
They'd get to the sideline, realize the defenders had pulled up to brother-in-law with them and allowed them to get off the sideline, and then they'd take 3, 4, 5 yards more.
Right.
And
make you
time,
look bad. And make you look bad doing it. Great.
And make you look bad doing it. Then it looks like you pulled up, you didn't make a play, you're going to get chewed out in film session, although you're probably not because everyone understood what was going on. But to the public, you looked bad. And to yourself, you felt like you were being made a fool of. Hold a minute. It's kind of like Bull Durham. When the guy hit the home run when right. Costner gave him the pitch, and then he stood there and admired it, he said, I give you a gift and you show up my pitcher?
Right.
Run, dummy.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? This is what it's like. And now defenders are like, no, 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 no. If you're going to try and be greedy, we're going to let you know that's not the way to go. And the smart ones have picked up on it. They get what they can. They know it's time, and they get out of bounds. Jackson Dart has to start doing that. This isn't even a thought process of should, possibly. No, has to. And I love the young man. Remember how I started this conversation, Joe? If I were sitting in front of him and his family right now, I'd say, okay, you can can the, you know, I'm going to be a tough guy stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want to play in this league for 15 years?
Right.
Or do you want to be a shooting star and get beat up? It's up to you.
Charles, we got some great stories going on. I think it's great. Some may not be happy. The Chiefs are in a dogfight to try to get in these playoffs right now. But, boy, I look at the Patriots, 11-2, won 10 straight. The Broncos game, you've got that game this week against the Raiders, 10-2, and the Bo Nix story. You still feel as you look at them, a lot of people aren't sold like, yeah, they're nice stories, especially New England, but they haven't had the toughest schedule. What's your take on the Patriots and the Broncos right now?
I'll start with the Broncos. They are winning games like teams who plan to have a good playoff are winning them, but there is a note of caution with it, right? They're winning all these close, tight games. Remember last year Kansas City got ridiculed for it?
Yes.
Oh, the refs are helping, oh, this and that. This is no different. They're winning games, you know, tight. They've won 4 straight by 3 points or less. The last 4 wins have been by 10 points. They got a little help on Monday night. On Sunday night. Did you see a couple of those calls?
Yeah.
I'm not throwing it out there like this is a problem for Denver. All I'm saying is for everyone out there who freaks out about Kansas City over this time, folks, it flips. It just happens that way. Kansas City. In one score games for a reason this year. They can't get off the field on defense and finish games off. It happens. You don't go 12-0 in one season and expect to be 12-0 the next season in one score games.
Right.
I like what they're doing, but I do say this, Joe. Bo Nix is nails in the fourth quarter, but there's got to be a little more consistency the first 3 quarters. And I just looked at something this morning that I can't tell you the exact thing, but in these types of games, and teams have had these types of seasons, where Denver is, their numbers match up exactly with teams that have done it before, and this is talking about running the football, Joe. 4 more games with less than 90 yards on the ground, teams that have gotten to the playoffs and have been a high seed, none have gotten past the divisional round, and 4 of the 6 lost their first playoff game.
Yeah.
Running the ball matters. Now, flip it over to New England. I thought Monday night was as a professional a win as New England has had all year. In other words, but open week coming up, Giants not very good, record terrible. Didn't know if the quarterback would play or not up until, you know, week of the game, that sort of deal. You get the whole idea. And they came right out, and it was 17-0 before you could blink.
Mm.
Okay? To me, this is a team that's not just riding the, oh, wow, we're having a great year, and look at this. Wow, this is amazing type of a wave. There's a professionalism to what they're doing and going about it. I will say their Achilles heel, though, is what are they going to do with teams if they can't run the football as effectively as they want to and you turn it into a drop-back game with that offensive line? That's where I think they could have some trouble with someone. In other words, they match up very poorly with Denver right now because Denver can rush the quarterback. And New England's left side of their offensive line, both rookies anyway, are both hurting out of the lineup right now.
Hey, Charles, man, I'll tell you what. Talk about coming back. Pittsburgh's come back, allow Baltimore get back in it. The Colts all of a sudden, who looked so good to start the year. Matter of fact, could have had more wins if it wasn't for a couple of stupid plays. And now all of a sudden, Jacksonville has passed them, and the Texans are right there, and now they got all these head-to-head games. Are you still drinking the Kool-Aid on the Colts at this point?
Not as deeply because of everything that you put out there, Joe. I mean, Jacksonville went through their little bit of lull and they've come out the other side and are playing well. And if they can get Trevor Lawrence to not turn the ball over, they'll really be pretty good. I mean, it's funny, quietly, he's either leading the league or near the top in giveaways at the quarterback position. Just think if he actually fulfilled half of his promise Jacksonville could be. You know, Brian Thomas has had a sophomore slump at receiver. They're doing a nice job. Houston's the one that everyone should be terrified of because if you didn't watch that Thursday night game and watch that film of Josh Allen getting hit time and time again, then I don't know what you're watching and not terrified of. And Kansas City gets them Sunday night with a beat-up offensive line, this could very well be the end of Kansas City. Look, I'm not saying that they're absolutely out, but the only reason we're not saying that, Joe, is the respect that they have gathered from nine straight AFC West titles, all these Super Bowl appearances, whatever. That team, I don't think, can get there this year. They've got too big a gauntlet down the stretch, and Houston could very well finish it off on Sunday night because I still know how they're going to block them.
Yeah, those two guys on the outside. Wow.
That's how you got to block them. And I know Andy Reid committed more to running the football and has done a really nice job of it. They're going to have to run it and be effective doing so. Otherwise, Patrick Mahomes will be on a race for his life, similar to the Super Bowl against Tampa, similar to the Super Bowl against Philadelphia, where he just had no time and got hit a lot. That could happen again Sunday night. This Houston team's on, they're racing back. And you know who has gotten renewed life is C.J. Stroud. Because the quarterback missed three games with an injury, Joe. And they went 3-0 without him. And he realized, oh, boy, I may be the guy, but this team's ready to play with whoever.
Yeah.
Let me reassert myself. And he played a nice game on Sunday.
Hey, this Pittsburgh team got off to a great start. And, boy, they have looked really bad. What's your take?
Back as we thought.
Yeah,
this is not a surprise.
Okay. Yeah.
Not to me. This is not a surprise to me. I'm not sure it's a major surprise to you. I mean, you watch this Pittsburgh team, and I remember early in the season, I told someone on my crew as a massive Pittsburgh fan, I said, when they lost at Cincinnati on a Thursday night, I said, be prepared. You're doing the exact same thing you've been doing for years now, dropping games you can't afford to drop.
Yeah.
That Cincinnati game was Joe Burrow was out.
Yep.
Pittsburgh was a decided favorite. They played poorly. Remember the year before in Cleveland? Same thing. I said, you've got to take advantage of the wins you can get because if Baltimore gets healthy, you're back in a dogfight. Well, guess what? And Baltimore, who I thought would come racing back and just totally bypass them, they've got their own issues.
Yes, they do.
Lamar Jackson is not healthy. It's that simple. Look, we had two of their games, Joe, so I'm saying this with eyes on him in person. He is playing with heart. He is playing with toughness, but he's not playing with Lamar Jackson 100%, not when you say 100%, you know what I'm saying, with the health to be able to do the things that he does. Joe, he's gotten run down in the last two games by defensive linemen.
Yeah, he can't run. He doesn't want to run. I can tell he's not himself. Yeah,
he doesn't want to. He's beat up.
Yeah.
And but I will give him credit for having the heart and the toughness. The issue is, though, can he truly just beat you from the pocket? I don't think he's ever been that type of quarterback. And I don't think this season there's enough time to develop that part of the game that's going to make it work for him and the rest of his guys. Because his receivers aren't really built to beat you from while he's in the pocket. They're built to beat you off of the scramble, the second reaction move, and those sorts of deals. Them just winning one-on-one by themselves, I think it's essentially Zay Flowers and no one else.
Hey, Charles, before I let you go, I got to put you on the spot. Dolphins got the Jets this week, got a good chance to go 6-7 after a terrible 1-6 start. Any shot that everybody comes back and they could still be in this thing as a wild card?
Who do you finish with?
Let's go Pittsburgh. We got Cincinnati at home, Tampa Bay at home, and New England on the road.
Yeah, no. The answer's no to me. Yeah. I don't see it. I think the Jets this week, yes. Pittsburgh is definitely within reach because of their struggles. And Pittsburgh will be coming off of Baltimore, which you and I both know is a blood feud. So people get hit in that game now, yeah, all right?
Right.
But your finisher hates your finisher because I don't see them getting any of those three teams if those teams have something to play for. So we'll see how it works out. But I just don't see it. But I like what they've done getting off the deck. I like the heart they've shown. I like all of those things. I just think it's too much to ask.
Charles, that's a good way to leave it right there, brother. Thank you so much, man. This NFL's AFC is going to be a blast to watch over the next month and a half. Thank you.
An absolute blast, and we don't know who the Super Bowl team is. If you think you know, I don't think you do. We'll see.
Charles, thank you, brother.
Take care, Joe.
All right, Charles Davis, NFL on CBS. Got the Denver Raiders game this week. Hey, Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED and Low T, let's get rid of it for the holiday season. You got it. It's okay, man. Every guy's got low T. Question is, when it gets real bad and starts to affect your life, as in tired all the time, no energy level, in a fog. A lot of little things, sometimes almost little depression kicks in there. And you're going, what's going on, man? Things are good in my life. Why am I like this? And it happens to guys in their 40s and 50s and 60s. It's going to happen. And, of course, ED follows. And I don't know about you, but, you know, no sex drive, nothing. Nothing happening in the bedroom. And all of a sudden, you just think it's normal. And I don't know, man. I wanted to do something about it. I had ED and low T. And I went to Atlantic Men's Clinic. I did. I sat down, I got the testing done, the T, the PSA test. I met with their professional staff. They put me on a program, and quickly, man, things turn around for you. Energy level back up, so I felt like working out again, and my energy was good on the weekends. I enjoy my wife and doing things. 7 locations in South Florida to serve you. This holiday season, the best gift you can give is Atlantic Men's Clinic, about somebody you care that you know might be going through low T and ED. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Set up that first appointment, 877-455-7300, or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.